The Extra Pack of Peanuts Travel Podcast, Episode 39. The permit to operate a hot dog pushcart stand in New York City's Central Park is $289,000 per year. That's a lot of hot dogs.
One, two, three. I'll show you Paris in the morning. I'll show you London afternoon. If you feel your Dublin heart is burning, yeah, well, you don't have to worry, 'cause we're going there soon. No, you don't have to worry, 'cause we're going there soon.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to another edition of the Extra Pack of Peanuts Travel Podcast. And for those of you who have been following the site over the last couple years or been listening to the podcast over the last year, you know that I'm a huge fan of frequent flyer miles in order to be able to fly around the world, anywhere in the world, for almost free. However, there are still times where I either have to buy a paid ticket or I choose to buy an airline ticket. And when I do that, I want to get the best price. We're talking $550 round-trip tickets to Shanghai, $225 tickets to Madrid, $185 tickets to Milan. All of these are trips that I took over the last year and a half. And today, I bring on Matt from TheFlightDeal.com, one of my favorite websites, to talk about how you can do the exact same thing and start finding these really cheap, really good paid airfare tickets. The audio, I will warn you, does get a little choppy in times, but make sure you stick with the podcast because there's some really awesome information in the podcast. Before we begin, if you haven't already, make sure to sign up for our email newsletter. You can do that from the computer. You can also do it from your smartphone. And that's going to be the best way for you to stay in the loop and know when new podcasts are released and also when new posts are put up on the blog. You can get that by going to extrapackofpeanuts.com/free. And you'll also receive our gift to you, the completely free Become a Frequent Flyer Millionaire series. I look forward to having you join the community and the email list. And now let's jump into this great interview. Hello, travel nerds, and welcome to the Extra Pack of Peanuts Travel Podcast, the show that teaches you how to travel more while spending less. I'm Trav, the creator of Extra Pack of Peanuts, and with me today is the guru of finding a great deal on flights and one of the people personally responsible for helping me score $225 plane tickets to Madrid last February and $550 tickets to China this February, Matt, one of the co-founders of TheFlightDeal.com. Matt, thanks so much for coming on the show and welcome.
Thanks a lot, Travis, for having me. Definitely appreciate, you know, the forum to talk about what we do, and hopefully, you know, we can answer some of your questions.
For sure, and as many of you listening already know, either through the podcast or through Extra Pack of Peanuts website, I'm an absolutely huge fan of The Flight Deal. I recommend it to everyone who is at a computer right now. Go bookmark it, theflightdeal.com, and let me be the first by saying on behalf of everyone else out there as well, thank you, Matt, for putting together such an awesome resource.
Oh, thank the generosity of the community for, you know, the support that they have given us. We definitely appreciate it. The response has been tremendous. So, you know, we definitely appreciate the good things that you say and, you know, everything that you have done to help us grow. So definitely appreciate it.
Well, it's my pleasure. And for those people listening who don't know what The Flight Deal is, can you explain generally what your site does?
So The Flight Deal, you know, it's basically a deal discovery site. So what we do is that, you know, every day we post about 7 deals a day from our coverage cities. We don't cover every city in the U.S., but, you know, we have 12 coverage cities that we find a deal every day. And, you know, we put up the best 7. The difference between that is versus like another deal site or any other deal site is that we have a mileage criteria. And that mileage criteria is that it has to be 6 cents or less per mile for us to post. So a prime example of that would be for a nonstop between New York and Barcelona, for example, it should not be more than $425. If it's more, we won't post it. So if it's like $435 and it's nonstop, we likely won't post it. If it's, you know, with a stopover connection, the mileage will increase and, you know, then, you know, we will probably post it because it's a little bit more. But, you know, if for a nonstop between New York and Barcelona, if it's more than $425, we probably won't post it. And that's been our mantra. So, you know, basically our programs go out there and find those deals. And every day, it's always a new deal every day. So you won't see things repeating itself, you know, just because it's posted last week, you probably won't post this week, even if there's like a simple price drop. So we don't do, you know, price drops, you know, different deals pretty much every day. So that's what we do. And, you know, the site is very simple to use. You know, you see where's it going, where, you know, where's it coming from, and the price and the airline. And, you know, that's all you need to see. And if you're interested, you can read the post. But if not, then you can just move on, basically.
Yeah, and you mentioned CPM. So for people out there who don't know what CPM is, we'll nerd out here a little bit. Don't worry, guys, though. The concept of CPM, it's not as difficult as it may sound. The CPM of a deal, if you want to clarify what that means for people who may not understand what, you know, cents per mile means exactly.
Okay, so, you know, between New York and San Francisco is, let's say, you know, 5,000 miles, give or take, right? You know, we do 6 cents per mile. So that means, you know, 5,000 times 6 cents is $300. So if it's more than $300, then we won't post it. So it's that simple. The ticket, when it's cheap, that means that, you know, your CPM is going to be lower based on the distance traveled. You know, New York to LA is, you know, almost 5,000 miles. So, you know, if it's $200 ticket, that means you're getting a great CPM. If it's a $300 ticket, that means it's around 6 cents. Basically, you know, that's what it means. It's, you know, the lower the CPM, the better the deal, basically.
Right. And we should clarify then that this is for people earning frequent flyer miles. So basically, if you are traveling 5,000 miles, you're going to earn 5,000 frequent flyer miles with whatever program you're traveling on or a partner. So they're looking at ways that you can get a not only a cheap paid ticket, but then also you'll be getting the frequent flyer miles in return to then use on flights that would be more expensive. So you use your miles on expensive flights, you buy the ticket for cheap flights, and that's kind of how the flight deal works then, correct?
Yes. I mean, I think, you know, if you think about, you know, New York to San Francisco, right? If you collect the miles, I think, you know, both of us, that's only 5,000 miles, but the value that we get out of it is basically the airlines are actually pretty much paying us to fly, if you think about it, which is kind of ridiculous. You know, 5,000 miles, if you, you know, on most redemptions, you should get at least $100 on, you know, in value for it, right? So, you know, that $300 ticket, if you think about it from a long-term perspective, it's really like 200 if you're using, you know, that frequent flyer mile to book a ticket to Paris, for example. If you save up and you go and, you know, you sign up for credit cards, get the sign-up bonuses and all those things, when you redeem, you probably will get at least 2 cents per mile for it. And you know, that 5,000 miles that you basically earn for any of your frequent flyer accounts, you know, you can use to redeem an expensive ticket. You know, that's pretty much our philosophy that, you know, you should buy cheap and pay, you know, use miles for expensive.
Exactly, exactly. And for people out there who don't earn frequent flyer miles, you can still obviously use the flight deal because it is very good prices between cities. So, you know, there are deals out there. And if you aren't earning frequent flyer miles, we would both suggest that you start doing that. It's free to do. You sign up for a program. If you're flying United, sign up for United's program. You'll automatically get miles for flying. But it's also with a flight deal will show you a very good price between cities. A good example is, as you're talking about, Matt, the airline's paying us to fly. I went to China for $550. I got 20,000 American Airlines miles for that flight. I paid $550. Well, 20,000 American Airlines miles to me is worth at least $400 in value. So in essence, I paid $150 to go to China. And in reality, it's probably even worth more than $400. So
definitely. I mean, if you, you know, $400, you know, 40,000 points, if you know, you get an off peak business class ticket, you know, you're definitely one way, you're definitely getting way much more value than the $400. And I think that is where the opportunity for us to, you know, take advantage of the opportunities that exist is where we can actually get way more travel for way less. And I think, you know, that's, I think, the things that we are trying to do. And we try not to be too complicated. It's very simple. Every day, you know, we just have deals every day.
Yes. And the thing I love about the flight deal, as you guys know, is that it is so simple to use. As Matt said, they post a deal, they give you the airline, you know, where it's going to and from the airline, how much it costs in the heading. If that seems interesting to you, you click on it and it actually goes through and will run down exactly how to find the ticket. And then if you want to book it, give you the sites that you can book it through. It really honestly could not be simpler. I've even sent my mom to do it. So as we all know, you know, it's very easy. So we thank you guys for really breaking it down step by step.
I think there's a lot of mystique in terms of the booking process. And I think people don't really know how to search. I think, you know, there's a lot of people just basically enter, you know, New York to San Francisco, and then they just enter their fixed dates without actually looking at, you know, if I go a day later or a day earlier, you know, would it be cheaper, right? And, you know, we always recommend that you actually search on a month by month basis versus, you know, your fixed dates just to get a good idea to see what the prices are. And we actually show how you can easily do that. You know, I mean, obviously a lot of the tools that, you know, you use like Kayak or, you know, just going to the airlines themselves or, you know, going to an online travel agency like Orbitz or Expedia, they don't have the facilities for you to actually see, you know, flexible pricing. And, you know, what the one thing that we do, you know, I mean, so obviously we are big fans of the Matrix by IPA, and that gives you, you know, that flexible view of, you know, what the fees should be. So if you're more educated on what the prices should be, you know, you're not going to pay $100 to go to San Francisco, right? When you, if you leave on a Saturday and travel on, you know, return on a Wednesday, well, not everyone can do that, but if you're flexible, you know, you can do that, then, you know, you can save a lot of money. So I think, you know, that's what we advocate for.
Yep. And guys, if you are listening to the podcast, we're linking everything in the show notes. So the ITA Matrix is just a phenomenal resource that if you don't know about it, you can use, and you could just use it any which way you want. Search by airline, search, you know, by month, like Matt said, and it'll give you a very good baseline of what you should be expecting to pay. And it'll give you all the numbers so that you can see, as you said, all right, well, if I leave on Friday, it's going to be $300. If I leave on Saturday, it's going to be $600. If you just go to Kayak, you might just put in Saturday and only see that $600 price. So it gives you a great baseline. So if you're unfamiliar with the ITA Matrix, get used to it. It's, again, pretty simple to use once you learn the basics, and it will be your best friend when searching for paid airfare, for sure.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I think, you know, if you're buying paid tickets and you're not using ITA, then you're basically, you know, you're going to overpay, basically.
Yeah, you're throwing money down the drain at that point. So I've professed numerous times that I have no clue how you guys do what you do. And I've gone as far as saying that people much smarter than me have built this amazing resource, the flight deal. And now that we've talked, I can be sure that you are much smarter than me. Can you shed any light on how you run the numbers and find those deals?
So you know, if you think about how airfare is published on a daily basis, it's not real time, contrary to what everyone believes. People believe that prices, you know, change constantly, and that's not really the case. Domestic fares are actually published only 4 times a day, and we take advantage of that, right? You know, we basically, you know, our programs are not running constantly on the background, and we mapped out, you know, what a routing should be on our program, so that, you know, if we go, for example, New York to San Francisco, we know that it's a little over 5,000 miles, so we know exactly what the price is. And the program spits it out and say, you know, hey, you know, in September, like today's deal, you know, it's $290 between New York and San Francisco. We know that it's something that, you know, we should investigate manually. What the program does is that, you know, it's going out there when the fare get updated, that 4 times a day for domestic fares. International is updated every hour. It's basically spitting out things that we should go and investigate. And, you know, we manually validate through ITA to make sure that it's searchable. And then once it's searchable, if, you know, it's a deal, then we decide whether or not, you know, to post deal A versus deal B, you know, what is more interesting to our readers. And then we want to make sure that it's bookable, right? Just because it's something that you can find doesn't mean that it's bookable. So we actually go and you know, test to make sure that, you know, you can book through the airlines themselves, through an OTA like Orbitz, before we post it. Because there's no point in posting something if people can't find it in, or if they can't book it. So I think, you know, most deals that we put up, you know, will last a little bit. But in general, if, you know, if you sit on a deal for more than a day or two, it's probably not going to be there.
Yeah, I didn't know how the process worked, and that is really interesting. You've basically gone through a fairly convoluted process of, all right, the program's going to spit it out, then you're going to actually go manually, you know, search it, manually book it, show them how to do it. So a lot of work goes into each deal that you post, and that's pretty obvious too. And obviously us as the readers of the flight deal get to make out on all your hard work. So again, let me say thank you for that.
I think, you know, I made it more convoluted than it is, but it's basically, you know, like the one thing that we do is that the program definitely tells us, you know, we built this program that can tell us exactly what the deal is, and, you know, we are just basically validating it. So we are basically putting it into ITA. I think a lot of questions people go, like, you guys are not manually going to ITA and looking for deals. And if we did that, we wouldn't be able to. We wouldn't be able to run the site. It's just not possible. There's a lot of automation that happens on the back end to make sure that, you know, it's finding the deals, and it works pretty well because it's not running all the time simply because it's too process intensive. You know, sometimes, you know, other places get it before us, and that's fine. I don't try to be the fastest, but, you know, I think 98% of the time, you know, we have the deal up before most people. So I think that's what we try to strive for.
I know personally, if you guys don't want to do all the work yourselves, which most people don't have time to do, if you do follow the flight deal, they will post, you know, a deal as quick as anywhere else that I've ever seen. For me, I just said it on the flight deal, follow the Twitter, and if something comes up that's interesting, I know that, you know, you guys have had it probably as quick as anyone else.
Yeah, to your point, you know, posting it, you know, it does definitely take a little time to craft, but, you know, like, we basically copy and paste it. If you see sometimes, you know, we have a lot of copy and paste errors. People are like, how come this thing says, you know, you have a title of American and, you know, you're telling us to search for United, and we're like, oh, we forgot to edit. So that happens, but, you know, there's a lot of copy and pasting, basically, when we, you know, we do have to manually put the deals up because, you know, obviously they are, depending on some deals, you know, we have to use special parameters to look for it. Or, you know, on the booking, you know, the booking instructions, you know, we might have to write it slightly different than just, you know, entering the dates and you can book it. You know, sometimes you have to, like, you know, say, specify the airline or specify, you know, actually the segments themselves in order to book. So, but mostly it's a copy and paste job. So, you know, it's not that hard, but, you know, it definitely takes us a little time to put all the deals together, you know, and people ask, how come we don't do more deal volume? We do have a big team, but at the same time, not everyone is working on the deals themselves. And, you know, it would take a lot more, you know, bandwidth from the entire team to actually, you know, to scale up. Or then the other challenge on the flip side of deals is not every city has deals on a consistent basis. So those are the things that are the challenges there.
To give people an idea of the type of deals that do pop up, what are some of the best paid airfare deals that you've come across in your time running the flight deal, which has been about 3 years now, give or take?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, in that time, I mean, I'm sure, you know, tons of people have did the Tel Aviv deal to Tel Aviv from the U.S. for like $400. You know, recently, mistake fear on American to Europe for about $400, which right now is actually a great deal. If you think about it, you know, back 10 years ago, $400 to Europe was ridiculous. You know, no one really paid that. Like, you know, most people pay like $300. But now, you know, obviously, airfare is becoming a lot more expensive. But the Tel Aviv deal, and then, you know, obviously, last November, you know, when the United era happened on Thanksgiving, when tons of people, you know, you went to Milan for $225, I believe. That was amazing. And then Christmas time, you know, Delta had the meltdown with this system where a lot of people were booking postcast tickets to Hawaii for like $60. And then, you know, obviously the United meltdown. If you're waiting for mistakes to happen, it'll probably not happen. And when you're, you know, when it's unexpected, it actually does happen. You know, with mistake fears in general, it's, are you in the right time, in the right place to actually take advantage of it? Do you have the facilities to take advantage of it? Because, you know, like, they don't last forever, right? They last at most maybe a few hours before they pull the plug on it. And it's important for you to, you know, for anyone who wants to take advantage of amazing deals to basically pull the trigger and not worry about it. Let it sort itself out. You know, once you get the ticket number, then you go and book the hotel rooms, you know, ask your boss for vacation time. Tell your wife, your girlfriend, your husband, your boyfriend, or whatever to go, like, hey, can we go? The one mistake a lot of people do is when they have seen an amazing deal is like, they got to go and, like, get all these things sorted. No, don't do that. Book the tickets. The great thing about, you know, booking tickets in the U.S. is that by DOT, you know, Department of Transportation regulations, they are required to give you a cancellation period. And most airlines give you 24 hours. Even the OTAs, you know, like, they give you to the next day to cancel. It's risk-free. They're not going to charge you. So just book it. You're not going to be out any money. Put it in the credit card. Don't worry about it. And then once you get the ticket number, then email your boss. Say, hey, can I take these days off? Then tell your significant other to say, hey, we're going to this amazing place. Didn't tell you, but we have the ticket. Let's go. I think, you know, with that kind of planning, I think it's really difficult for a lot of people because, you know, like, I think most people want to be sure that, you know, hey, is it going to be a hotel? You know, is this the place I want to go to? But when you're paying $225 for Milan or, you know, if from New York it's like $150, don't worry about it. Just go. I mean, you know, like, you're not going to see that price again, you know, for a long time. And you could do a trip for basically, you know, get some amazing food, see some amazing sights for $1,000. I mean, like, that's not going to happen, you know, with mistake fears in general. Pull the trigger and then ask questions later.
Yeah, and we should mention, like, these mistake fares, the ones I mentioned, you know, I went to Spain for $225. I took advantage of the New York to Milan one. It was maybe like $175 or $166, something like that. And mistake fares, you know, the flight deal doesn't just post mistake fares. If they happen, they will post them. Obviously, you guys post deals every day, 7 a day at least, you know, of good prices that match that 6 cent per mile criterion. When mistake fares do happen, that's with like a technical glitch for the systems. You know, they happen basically because of something wrong with the technology. As Matt said, if they come up, I mean, you'll see them on the flight deal. You're hearing about them on the forums, everything like that. I'll tweet them out as well. But you have to take advantage of them right away. You know, the one to Italy, the Milan to, or New York to Milan one, you know, I didn't really care about going to Milan, but it was $165. So what did I do? I flew into Milan and we went right over to Venice, Florence, Rome, and we spent, you know, total like 6 hours in Milan. I didn't care about Milan, but it was a conduit to going to those other places.
Right. Travis, you hit the point. You know, like, I think people are fixated on a particular destination. Like, for example, they see Brussels, but they don't realize that, you know, they really want to go to Paris, and they don't realize that, you know, it's a 2 hour train ride. And it's like $40 to go from Brussels to Paris, and they go like, oh, but I really want to go to Paris. You know, like right now, for example, this summer fares, you know, from Delta, from a couple of you know, United hubs to Brussels for summer travel, that is like $800. And you know, most people go like, that's really expensive. But if you think about, like, and then you look at Paris for summer, it's like $1,500. And then they go like, but I want to go to Paris. And you're like, well, you know, it's a 2 hour train ride. You know, trains in Europe is actually very easy. Or getting an easy jet flight around Europe is cheap, right? And I think people don't realize how close the geography is for a particular city. And, you know, once they look at the map and see how close everything is, you know, don't worry about that. You know, this fear is to Milan, or this fear is to Brussels, or this fear is to Norway. But, you know, and you have no intention of going to those places, that's okay. And then you can go and find something cheap to connect to the city that you want to go to. And I think that's important to stress.
Yeah, and so the advice we have with mistake fares, I think me and you are on the same page here. If you see a mistake fare, you need to book it right away. And as Matt mentioned, and this is a great thing to know, most airlines have 24-hour free cancellation policies if you're booking them within the U.S. So first book it, get on it, don't worry about it, book it. Figure out if you can make it work. Can you get the time off work? Or is your spouse going to let you go? You know, whatever. Figure all that stuff out. Then make sure in that 24-hour window you want it when you get ticketed, and then have it, then figure everything out. So you don't have to have everything planned before you go. You know, those hotels are still going to be there 24 hours later, but you need to make sure that you get the mistake fare when it happens. Because, Matt, you would say most mistake fares probably last between, what, 2 and maybe 10 hours at the most?
Yeah, I mean, they really last more than a day. And, you know, most domestic fares are updated every 4 hours. So, you know, basically, that's the opportunity for them to update the fares. So it's not really, you know, there's really no opportunity for them to change it within, you know, that until the next fare update. United did the drastic thing of actually pulling the whole website off site because, you know, they couldn't update the fares in order to stop the bookings. And then, you know, international, you know, they're updating every hour. So international deals can potentially last, you know, shorter, but, you know, if it's like an international airline and, you know, the mistake get posted like at 10 a.m., if it's like, you know, a carrier in Europe, they're probably at home at that point and they won't be able to do anything until the next day. So you probably have a little bit more time. But in general, if you see it, book it, book a bunch of dates. You know, that's what we do. And then, you know, figure out what works best and cancel the ones that doesn't work for us. Don't wait on it. If you wait on it, you know, the next day you won't be there and then you won't be able to take advantage of things that we have done. You know, like, before we launched the site, you know, we went to Stockholm and Copenhagen for $150. We went down to Lima for $270. I mean, you know, we have taken advantage of a lot of mistake fares in the last few years, and they didn't last, you know, more than a few hours. And you know, to take advantage of it means that, you know, you got to book it immediately and then worry about everything else later.
And I think you brought up a good point there as well. If you don't know what dates you can go, again, with this 24-hour cancellation policy, book a few dates, you know, book as many as you want. You know, you are going to have to cancel them at some point. So you have to go through the hassle of canceling it. But, you know, book 4 or 5, you know, let's say, all right, maybe I can go in January, I'll book it. Maybe I can go in February, I'll book it. And then figure out which ones you can. Then you give yourself a lot of leeway there, as opposed to saying, I'm going to book one ticket. And if I can't make that work, well, then I lose the fare. Here, book 4 or 5, figure out which one works the best, cancel the other ones, and you're good to go.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the case with all fares, right? I mean, every fare, if it leaves or comes into the U.S., you know, you basically have a cancellation policy. So take advantage of it. Don't be afraid. I think, you know, there's a lot of fear in terms of booking because, you know, it can be daunting when you're, like, thinking about putting hundreds and hundreds of dollars down on a pay ticket to go somewhere. You know, because it is a hard-earned cash. You know, everyone work hard for their money, and that can be a scary thing to say, hey, you know, like, what happened if this thing doesn't work out? Well, the good thing is that you have 24 hours. And don't worry about it. You know, some online travel agencies might give you a few hours, but even with those few hours, use it to firm up your travel plans. Don't worry about the fact that you won't be able to cancel and you'd be holding the bag with basically, you know, potentially hundreds and hundreds of dollars of tickets. So I think that's one of the great things that the DOT has done in the last few years in terms of, you know, making it more consumer friendly to travel. You know, obviously travel, you know, from a regulation perspective is, you know, it can be daunting, but definitely that was one of the great consumer-friendly things that, you know, the DOT did, and, you know, has definitely made booking travel less daunting and less, you know, like, am I going to lose hundreds and hundreds of dollars if I don't go?
One of the interesting things that you've posted recently, Matt, is about chasing the fare, not the destination. Can you explain that rationale a little bit? Because I think it's a pretty cool travel philosophy that you have and that you guys at The Flight Deal have.
We try to go and see as much of the world as possible versus, you know, going to the same places. And the places that you might want to go to is not necessarily going to have a deal. You know, a lot of people want to go to Paris. A lot of people want to go to Tokyo. A lot of people want to go to London. Deals for those places are not likely going to happen because, you know, there's, number one, a lot of business demand. There's also a lot of tourist demand. So the seats get filled. They're not going to put it on sale. But there's a lot of places that you could go to that are not, you know, on most people's tourist radar, like going to Peru, which, you know, is cheap, right? A lot of people don't necessarily think of that as the first place they go to. But if there's a deal, you should go there. See it. The food is amazing. It's better than a lot of places that you're going to go to. The steaks are amazing. So our philosophy is, you know, go see as much of the world as possible. Don't get fixated on one destination. If you get fixated on one destination, you're going to pay a lot more than if you go and see the rest of the world. Charles, you know, before we started this podcast, you know, we had a little brief chat about Southeast Asia. You know, we are in Asia a lot because, you know, there's a lot of value that you can get in Asia from a travel perspective. The accommodations are cheap, you know. The food is cheap, and you get a lot of value for, you know, basically going there. Getting there is tough, but, you know, there's a lot of deals going there. So, you know, our philosophy is go see as much of the world as possible. Don't get fixated on one destination. You know, I know a lot of us have a tendency to try to go back to the same places because, you know, it's comforting. But, you know, travel, I think, you know, one thing has taught us is that the world is very big and very small at the same time. And the more you see of it, then you realize how small it is, and you realize that, you know, we are all the same, and it's really enriching when you see more of it than just go to the same places over and over again. So, you know, we definitely advocate going to see as much of the world as possible. So when there's a deal to Lima for $300, go. It's a great city. When there's deals to, you know, a cheap ticket to Norway right now, go. You know, you can go and use that to go elsewhere in Europe. That is important to do. You know, we don't get too fixated on any destinations. And when we do have a destination that we need to go to, if it's expensive, we use miles. Because, you know, we're not going to pay $15 for coach to go to Paris. It's just ridiculous. We'll plan around whether or not there's mileage availability, you know, and if that means going into Germany in order to catch a train to get to Paris so that we don't have to fly in coach, we'll do that. So that tells very well in terms of, you know, why we actually, you know, only publish deals that you can collect miles on. Because, you know, we do want you to collect the miles so that, you know, you can actually use the miles to go pay for the expensive tickets that, you know, that to the places that you actually do want to go to or need to go to. And we all have that, right? I mean, you know, for either personal reasons or business reasons or whatever the case might be, there's always going to be a destination that you need to go to. The places you need to go to are always going to be more expensive than you realize.
Yeah, that's very true. And I couldn't agree more with the idea that a lot of people get fixated on the destination. And one of the reasons I love the flight deal is it just fills me with wanderlust whenever I go because I don't know what's going to pop up, right? I just, you know, every day these deals pop up and I hear, you know, like you just posted one a little while ago, to Lusaka in Zambia, which is hilarious because my cousin was in the Peace Corps in Lusaka. And so I sent it to her. I said, hey, want to go back? You know, but people wouldn't consider going to Lusaka. And from what she says, you shouldn't really want to go to Lusaka, but that is a way that you could go to
Victoria Falls.
Yeah, you could go to Victoria Falls. You could go up to Livingstone and go to Victoria Falls. So I just think there's so much out there. And like you said, it is, if you find a good fare and you're open to going places, you know, look at it as an opportunity. Even if you want to just go there for a couple days and then use that as a jumping off point to somewhere else, that's fine. But don't say, I need to go somewhere. Make sure you look at all your options and then decide, hey, if you do want to pay $1,500 to Paris as opposed to paying $800 to Brussels, I mean, that is your prerogative. That's your, you know, you can do whatever you want. We wouldn't suggest it, but I think you just want to have all the options. And the flight deal does give you all those options because you do post a lot of stuff to some off the beaten path, obscure places.
Right. You know, we have no idea where the deals come from, but we definitely, from a deal selection perspective, you know, we would obviously always post deals that doesn't get a lot of coverage because I think, like I said before, the world is big and you know, you should go see it. But then once you go see it, you realize how small the world is. We could do all day, every day posting to, you know, the same places, you know, like New York to San Francisco. There's tons of sales in New York to San Francisco, but it's not that interesting. You know, we fly a lot. You know, when there's a deal, you know, we buy tickets. But at the same time, I don't think, you know, from a pure travel perspective, you should, you know, fixate on that one destination. So I think if there's an esoteric location that shows up, you know, that we found, we will definitely post that over anything else. Always.
Yeah, very cool. That jives right with what I love doing. And another reason I like the site is because it just gives me ideas of places that I haven't gone to that I want to go to. And I see it and I'm like, that's cheap. Let's try to figure out how to get there. So love what you do there. Do you have any general tips for people who are going to have to go to a specific place, right? Like you say, all right, I have to go New York to London for whatever it is, and they need to pay for it or anything like that. They're not going to use miles. Because we already talked about if it is an expensive ticket, try to use miles and then try to earn miles on the cheap tickets. Are there suggestions or general tips for people who need paid flights, don't have much flexibility really in where they're going for times of the week, times of the year, or places to search to find the cheapest tickets?
You know, we recommend ITA matrix to everyone. But, you know, we know that that can be a little technical for some people. If they want something that's a little less technical, you know, Google Flights works really well. The only caveat with Google Flights is that for international destinations, international flights, it's actually missing a lot of carriers. So just know that. But if you just want a good baseline of what the tickets are, it's not bad. So, for example, if you go into Turkey, for example, let's say go to Istanbul, Google Flights doesn't have Turkish Airlines, which, you know, obviously is a big missing gap in the product. But, you know, if you just like to get a good idea what the prices should be, Google Flights, you know, I think it's a lot easier to use than ITA. But, you know, if you use one of the other, you will get a good baseline. And once you have a good baseline, then you will know what to pay. From a ticket perspective, at least when you're paying for it, that fear of not knowing what the price should be holds a lot of people back. So once you get a good baseline, you do that, those searches, get a good baseline to say, oh, New York to Istanbul should be, you know, $700. Once you have that, then you see it for $600, you go like, I should pull the trigger on it, right? I think that is the thing that holds back. So, you know, if there's places you want to go to, I think, you know, it's always a good idea to just do a bunch of searches on ITA or Google Flights to see what the baseline price should be. Then when a deal pops up, you can actually take advantage of it, and you actually know that it's a great deal versus just because someone posted a fear up saying that, you know, here's a ticket from New York to Istanbul, it doesn't mean that it's a good deal. If you have a good baseline, then you know whether or not it's a good deal or not. And I think that's important, right?
Very important point. Yeah, knowledge is power. And I think a lot of people get scared with airfare, especially if they don't book a lot of airfare, because, you know, how is someone naturally who doesn't do this all the time going to know how much it should cost to go to Istanbul? You don't. You have no clue. And so if you do go to these search engines, ITA Matrix, Google Flights, get a baseline, see, okay, well, generally in May, most days are $750. Okay, then like we said, when the flight deal says, hey, there's one for $550, you know, I got to jump on that. But yeah, if you don't know, it's not like going into a store where all the prices are listed and then it says sale 50% off, right? You have to know ahead of time what the baseline is. I think that's great advice, Matt.
I mean, I think that's the one thing that holds people back from booking. I mean, they don't really know what a good price is. And 6 cents per mile criteria is a good criteria. But that doesn't mean that it's, you know, some deals, you know, are still very expensive. Going to Southeast Asia is still going to be like $1,000. But once you have a good baseline, knowing that, you know, oh, without a sale is $1,500, then, you know, you should pull the trigger when it actually goes on sale. And I think that's important. Spend the time. It takes 10 minutes for you to you know, plug in, you know, 10 searches, you know, for the whole year to see, you know, what the baseline for a particular city should be. Wedding season is coming up right now. You know, for a lot of people, you know, they're going to a lot of weddings. We just talked about that, you know, before this podcast started. You know, you have some travel you have to do to go to a wedding. You know, you should look at, you know, how, what the ticket price is going to be. And so that, you know, when you actually see a sale to go to whatever destination you need to go to for these weddings, to know when to pull the trigger, because it's going to be, you know, it's expensive. But knowing the baseline is really important. So
yeah, don't go in blind, or else you're going to end up probably paying more than you should.
Yes, definitely. And flexibility is key. I mean, I think, you know, even when you have a good baseline, if you can leave on a Thursday versus a Friday and the price is cheap on Thursday, take the Thursday option, you know, go explore more. And if you have to return on a Saturday versus a Sunday, return on a Saturday. You're not going to miss much. So it's important to be flexible and definitely know a good baseline on what the tickets should be.
Yeah, and you already mentioned a little bit. Flexible on dates, for sure. Flexible on locations, too. Not in, all right, I'm going to go anywhere like we already talked about, but okay, well, can I fly into an airport, especially when you're doing international? Because let's say your flight's going to be 7, 8, 10 hours. Well, adding on an extra train to the final destination for an hour, if you're going to end up saving $500, it's probably worth it. So be flexible. Know your geography. Look at a route map and say, okay, I want to go to Paris, but they fly into Brussels. Or I want to go to Amsterdam, it flies into Brussels. You know, and plug that stuff in. And the cool thing about ITA that we should mention is you can plug in multiple destinations. So you can say, I want to leave from Philly, New York, Washington, D.C., whatever. Let's say you live in that area, and I want to go to Amsterdam, Brussels, Germany, Paris, you know, Frankfurt, whatever. You know, be flexible that way as well.
Oh, definitely. That's actually a great tip that, you know, ITA can actually search for multiple destinations at once. You know, you obviously don't want to put in too many, but, you know, if you put in a few, you know, it will actually just give you the lowest price to any of those destinations. And we're both in agreement. Having flexibility on dates and location, you know, will save you a lot. You know, but definitely knowing geography helps a lot with this hobby. So looking at a map and realize that, you know, I think a lot of people get, you know, I think Europe is obviously, you know, the main, you know, I think for, if you look at, you know, international travel, Europe is obviously number one between the U.S. and, you know, the rest of the world. If you look at Europe, actually it's very small. It's like half the size of the U.S. And you can basically get anywhere in Europe under 4 hours on a flight. That's from London to Moscow is 4 hours. So it's very, very small. Going from London to Paris, it's like an hour on a plane and, you know, like 4 hours on the train. You know, don't be afraid of what the destinations are and how far it is. Like, you know, like we talked a lot about Southeast Asia before we got into this podcast. Southeast Asia is far, but like the tickets between cities in Southeast Asia is really cheap with the low-cost carriers. Like going from like Singapore to Bangkok on like AirAsia is like $40.
Yeah, if that, right. Yeah, I believe one time we flew 15 AirAsia flights in a span of 3 weeks. Now, I wouldn't recommend that, but every ticket was under $50, you know, from Kuala Lumpur up to Chiang Mai, which is about a 3.5 hour flight, it was like $30. So once you get to a place, then it's good to know those tricks. Like you said, AirAsia, low-cost carriers in Europe, Ryanair, EasyJet. In Asia, AirAsia is the big one, but every country has them, Tiger Air, stuff like that.
Well, right. I think, you know, while we have a topic of low-cost carrier, the best search tool for low-cost carriers is Skyscanner. So, you know, if you go on Skyscanner, you can actually find, you know, that availability with AirAsia and, you know, EasyJet and Ryanair that you wouldn't be able to find anywhere else. So, you know, basically having a search engine do that would, you know, solve a lot of challenges. You know, we are, like, big fans of using low-cost carriers for, like, you know, flights under 2 hours. Anything more than that, I think it's, you know, probably painful because, you know, obviously the pitch and the seats are very tight. You know, all of us are going to survive 2 hours, you know, being a little uncomfortable. I think, you know, more than that is probably not, but, you know, when the ticket is like $30 to go from like Singapore to Bangkok, you suck it up and you do it, right? It's not a big deal. The world's not going to end if you sit in the coach seat for 2 hours. And I think, you know, we also need to be mindful of that. I think in this hobby, you know, we all, obviously, a lot of us, you know, have the opportunity to fly in premium products. And, you know, for the short haul flights, you know, it's not that painful to take an hour flight in coach, you know, or 2 hours, or in a low-cost carrier. It's going to be okay, you know. I think people get, you know, oh my God, I'm flying coach. It's the end of the world. It's not. You'll survive.
Right. I agree. And I've even done some low-cost carriers. We've done AirAsia round trip from Osaka to Kuala Lumpur. So I think it's 8 hours about each way. AirAsia, you know, it was coach, but it was as good coach as, you know, like US Air, American Airlines products. And we did Jetstar all the way from Australia to Japan. And again, you know, consider a low cost carrier, but we had a good experience. So yeah, they were super cheap, right? I mean, to round trip from Osaka to Kuala Lumpur cost us less than $100. So, I mean, that's an 8.5 hour international flight each way for under $100. I mean, you can't beat that, right? So,
right, definitely, you know, like don't discount the low-cost carriers once you get to the destination, to get around the country. And because they're going to be cheaper than, you know, if you're, you know, buying, like, on a full-service carrier. And the full-service, you're not going to get anything more than, like, free food and a drink. And you know, like, if you value that, seriously, I mean, go to the terminal, bring yourself a sandwich. You're going to save a lot more money.
Yeah, the $3 wrap on AirAsia was better than any airline food I've had anyway. So, yeah, I'll take that any day. I agree. Are there other things that you do? Because we talk about cheap flights. Obviously, that's a huge piece of the puzzle, getting somewhere cheap. And then we talked about, you know, getting around cheap. You can do trains. You can also do low-cost carriers. Are there other things that you do that help you keep your costs down when you travel?
You know, for accommodations, I mean, obviously, you know, like for big cities, you know, we'll stay in a chain just because, you know, we have points for it. But I know that not everyone has points. You know, we talk about Airbnb. I think that's a good avenue to stay at. But, you know, definitely look at the local brands for hotels, you know, because, you know, you pay a lot less than, you know, paying the Western chain prices. And the service and things are not that different. You know, do you need to, you know, have a buffet service breakfast in the lounge in the morning? Probably not. Like, especially if you're, like, in Asia, you know, you're going to get a much better breakfast for, like, $1, like, on a local restaurant. And it's not worth it to pay that price premium for it. The one thing that we do when we go, you know, we talk about this, you know, the team here, you know, there's 12 of us, when on an annual basis, we take one big trip together. Usually is to, you know, to not to a dual country. You know, we did, a bunch of us did Easter Island a few years ago. We were in Bali 2 years ago. So, you know, when we do that, what we actually look for is actually, we actually try to see if there's homes that we can actually rent. VRBO is a great site to rent, like, villas and things like that. So in Bali, what we did was, is that we rented a ginormous villa for $600. For the 12 of us, private pool, butler, in May. So basically they came and, you know, cleaned the villa every day, had breakfast in the morning, and we pay $600 for the villa, for the 12 of us. That's $50 a night on the peak of Christmas. The Four Seasons down the street was charging $1,000 a night for Christmas per room. Yeah, I mean, we like the Four Seasons, you know, don't get us wrong, but, you know, that's a huge price gap. And, you know, when you think about it that way, you know, it's worth it, especially if you go to these countries and you're traveling a big group. Definitely look at VRBO, Airbnb, and just, you know, start Googling villas in those cities or house rentals, and you're going to get much better value. Definitely when you do that, you know, look at the feedback that people, you know, basically people who have stayed there have provided to see, you know, whether or not that's actually a good place. Definitely look at a map to see it's in a good location or not. Addresses have a tendency to be not addresses in the rest of the world, you know, especially in Asia. It's a more of a landmark more so than anything else. So definitely, you know, do a street view to make sure that, you know, you are getting some quality and not get fixated on the pictures, because, you know, pictures have a way of being very deceiving in terms of what you're going to get. But, you know, definitely you want to, you know, if you have Google Street View, definitely look at, you know, where it is and definitely read the reviews and make sure that, you know, like, they are legit reviews, because, you know, definitely people are, you know, the owners have a tendency sometimes to put out reviews that for themselves that are self-serving. So if you do that, I think you get much better value, especially if you're traveling in groups. If you're traveling by yourself, Airbnb works great. You know, renting a room, those would be much cheaper than what you're going to get if you're paying Western-style hotels. I mean, you know, if the chains are great, I think, you know, there's comfort in knowing that you're going to get the same thing no matter where you're going to go. But you and I share the same philosophy in terms of get out of your comfort zone a little bit. It's okay. If it doesn't work out, you know, if the room is, you know, $50 a night, go find something else. It's, you know, you're going to lose $50, but, you know, nothing is bad going to happen to you.
Right. And not only will it be cheaper usually, but you're going to probably get a more authentic experience. You can book places in parts of town, make sure you're not booking them in dangerous, but you can book them in authentic places in parts of town. When I stayed in an apartment with Go With O in Venice, we were in a place where, you know, there was no hotels. It was just a local place in town, totally safe, really quaint, really cool. All the hotels are located in one little area. So you get authentic experiences. We're sitting here in Croatia. We have a 3-week rental on the coast, a 2-bedroom place. We're paying $500 for 3 whole weeks. So you could not get a better deal than that. And that was through Airbnb. So I urge people, look at other accommodation options. I know I talk about it a lot on the podcast, but Airbnb, VRBO, HomeAway, as well as Go With O and apartments, stuff like that. You really should look at those options, because you are going to get good deals, authentic places, and it is going to get you out of your comfort zone a little bit. You don't know what to expect exactly, and sometimes that's the fun of traveling.
You know, traveling is for exploring, right? And, you know, if you're staying in the Western-style chains, that's okay. I mean, I think it's not necessarily a bad thing, but you definitely, if you're going to go, you know, you don't need the American cookie-cutter experience, you know. To me, you know, like, staying in a Marriott is, you know, anyway, it's the same Marriott. You know, you get the same room. It's consistency. It's very comforting. For work travel, definitely, you know, I would stay in a chain, but, you know, when I'm traveling for myself, I definitely would want a more local, authentic experience, and, you know, you should seek those out. But especially if you're traveling in a group, definitely, you definitely should look into, you know, house rentals and things like that. You will save so much more money than staying in a hotel and trying to get like 5 rooms for like, you know, your family or things like that.
Completely agree. Accommodations for big groups, you'll save so much going with apartments, going with whole houses, things like that, because the hotels don't get any cheaper if you book more rooms usually. So, you know, you're paying the same amount per person as you would if it's 1 or 2 or 10. Whereas with apartments, you can get a 3-bedroom for probably a little more than a 1-bedroom. So definitely check them out. What do you guys have, Matt, in the pipeline that people should be looking out for, either personally or professionally, at the flight deal?
So I think, you know, we are constantly looking at, you know, to improve the product. I think, you know, one of the things that, you know, we've been getting a lot of feedback on is how can we get deals delivered to our audience in a much more timely manner. One of the big feedbacks that we have gotten is that sometimes we post deals and they are not available shortly after. So how do we make sure that we provide that? So that's one of the things that, you know, we are focused on from a dev perspective to build some sort of more timely delivery of the deals to our audience. It's just basically scaling up. You know, one of the things that, you know, we've been thinking about is how can we provide more deals in different types of deals. You know, we also been getting a lot of feedback for delivering premium class fares. Don't really know about that, but, you know, we get a lot of feedback about that. But the site in general, from a site perspective, it's about, you know, making sure that, you know, we are finding the best deals. And if we don't, call us out on it. You know, we take feedback, you know, very seriously. If you don't like something, tell us. Having that dialogue with our audiences is very important. So, you know, we'll constantly improve on that. From a personal standpoint, you know, I mean, this year, you know, traveling constantly, I just got back off the red eye from the West Coast. It's going to be more travel. I mean, it never stops.
Yeah. And I do think that's one of the things that resonates with me, Matt. Not only do you guys provide a service that is completely free and amazing and really easy to understand, but you also are willing to continue to improve it. You have a site that is really awesome, a great resource, but you're looking at ways that you can improve it. How can we get it more timely? You know, should we look at premium products? And you take the feedback from people very seriously. And that's one of the things that I really like about the site and one of the things I try to do here. I think we're on the same wavelength with that, is how can we continue to improve the product we have to better serve our audience? And I think you guys do a great job with that.
Oh, thank you. I mean, you know, with our audience, we wouldn't be here. So, I you know, the generosity of our audience has been amazing. You know, I mean, in order for us to succeed, we have to provide the best deals, but we also have to provide the best service in every day. You know, if we feel like that, like, you know, we tell our audience, just tell us, call us out on it. You know, we take criticism. If you don't like something we're doing, let us know. And that's okay. I mean, a lot of sites are afraid of taking that kind of criticism or feedback, and that's okay. I mean, I think we're big enough. Anyone who has emailed us, you know, like, we you know that, you know, we will take the time to answer the questions. So if there's something that you guys like to see improved, let us know. I mean, we are constantly working on it, so it's not, you know, we are on our second release of the site, or third release. You know, we have another one coming up soon, so we'll go from there.
Awesome. Well, Matt, thanks so much for coming on the show, and thank you so much for starting the flight deal. Your site is one of the few that I check out every single day without fail. Before I let you go, just remind people one more time how they can come connect with you and make sure you stay in the loop, because you guys are active on social media and you do interact a lot with your followers. So tell people how they can come find you.
We are on Twitter. We tweet a lot. So, you know, we are at The Flight Deal on Facebook, The Flight Deal. And, you know, you can always visit our site, theflightdeal.com, to basically see what we do. And Travis, thank you so much for giving us the forum to talk about what we do and, you know, discuss travel in general. I mean, I think, you know, it's great that, you know, we find like-mind travelers such as yourself, you know, which is always good to see. And if you're in New York, let us know, you know, we'll get a drink.
For sure. Thanks again for coming on the show, Matt. And next time a mistake fair pops up, we'll have to try to coordinate our travel plans.
Oh, definitely.
Thanks again, Matt. Cheers.
Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Hey guys, I've said it a few times already, but I absolutely love theflightdeal.com. So I urge you, go to theflightdeal.com, check out the deals they post each day. Definitely bookmark that site and check back continuously, because like they said, they're always posting 7 to 10 new deals a day. I would also urge you to follow them on Twitter, because they'll be tweeting out the best deals at The Flight Deal. And if a mistake fair ever does come up, number one, act on it fast. Number two, follow theflightdeal.com on Twitter. You can follow at Pack of Peanuts on Twitter, as I'll always tweet it out as well, and put it on Facebook. You can find it like our Extra Pack of Peanuts Facebook page, so that you know when a mistake fair does come up and you can take advantage of these awesome tickets like $185 to Milan or $225 to Madrid. Lastly, if you're listening to a travel podcast, that probably means that you want to travel more, and I want to help you do that. And the easiest way for me to help you travel more while spending less is for you to go over and sign up for the Extra Pack of Peanuts email newsletter. And you can do that by going to extrapackofpeanuts.com/free. By signing up for the newsletter, you'll be getting email updates anytime we put up a new podcast, as well as anytime we put up a new post to the site. You're also going to get our free copy of Become a Frequent Flyer Millionaire, which is going to set you on the path of how to start acquiring frequent flyer miles and really start traveling around the world for next to nothing. So extrapackofpeanuts.com/free. You can sign up for our email newsletter. You can stay abreast of everything that's happening on Extra Pack of Peanuts, and I can help you start to travel more while spending less. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in once again to another edition of the Extra Pack of Peanuts podcast. I'll see you next week, and until then, happy free travel.